The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Health Minister Simon Harris has expressed his interest in introducing a free contraception scheme in 2021. There are a number of options in a report commissioned, and depending on whether you should just do it for young people or whether or not it should be available to one and all is an open question. A recent report, though, has warned that free contraception could cost the taxpayer between 80 million and 100 million a year and might not in that way be totally effective in spite of the money spent. Well, I'm joined by Fine Gael TD for Dublin Bay South, Kate O'Connell, and columnist of the Sunday Times and head of the Iona Institute, David Quinn, both with me in studio. Now, Kate, you've brought in some contraceptives to explain what might be involved and what it might cost.
Yes, so there's a huge range of contraceptives available in the market now, ranging from, I suppose, that which started first, barrier contraceptives, condoms, oral contraceptive pills, either progesterone only or combination of hormones, a daily dose of a tablet, and then the long-acting contraceptives, which are, I've brought in a demo here, which is the bar in the arm, as it's known. So it's a depot injection put into the arm of the woman, and it will release slowly over time and give her contraceptive coverage.
Now, how is that implanted? Is it difficult to implant?
No, a GP normally does it. Okay. It's a skilled procedure, and it's invasive in that it has to go into your arm.
Would it be a bit like microchipping a dog, for example?
Well, a little bit like that. Yeah. A little bit like that. Tends to have low infection rate, tends to be clean and works very quickly.
How long does that last for then?
3 years. And then you have the coils, which are around for a long time. So there's the copper coil that has no hormone component. They're not very common in Ireland, and they're often used, actually, some people with religious conscientious objection issues where they don't hormone, so it's just a metal coil. And then you have the more modern coils, which slowly release, and I have one of those here this morning. And they're a very small little kind of like a wishbone device. And that's a very skilled procedure. It has to be done by a doctor. Costs about €200 to have it inserted by a doctor. Costs on the drug payment scheme €124. And there's a consultation period. And that lasts for 5 years. And that would be very, very popular in terms of women who've had children and are finished having their family.
What is the cost of the implant, the first one, the in the arm? The bar and the arm.
It's the same as the coil in terms of cost to user. It comes under the drug payment scheme of 124.
And then, of course, there are condoms and a proposal that there should be condom machines where condoms would be dispensed.
And we have that. We're rolling that out at the minute, free condoms. But condoms on their own, when you look at, I suppose, the effectiveness. So the point of contraception is to avoid pregnancy. And I know that's stating the obvious, but we have to see how efficacious things are. And condoms, while they're very effective at preventing sexually transmitted diseases, the data clearly shows that the lower the user input, the more effective the contraceptive device. So your high levels of efficacy are with your bar in the arm and your coils.
Because these are effectively automated.
Exactly. There's
whereas
no...
Whereas taking a pill, you forget the pill and there may be consequences in the case of the condom bursts, or it's not used properly or whatever. So that's your issue. But the bar in the arm and the coil, it's insert and forget.
Yes, and a key point is that when we looked at the data at the Joint Oireachtas Committee following on from the Citizens Assembly, over 50% of crisis pregnancies were a result of incorrect contraceptive use or contraceptive failure, and just under 50% were people who used no contraception. So there's a huge piece of work to be done in terms of the people that are using contraception to see why are they experiencing such failure rates when in trial phases the drugs are very effective. So I think we have a huge education piece to do
Are you in favour of a free programme for all?
I'm in favour of a free programme for all, but the reality is we can't afford that right now. So what we have to do is make a policy decision on how we best use taxpayers' money. The policy aim is to have free contraception for all. It will form part of the Sláintecareuniversal access programme. But in the short term, the minister's proposal is to target the youngest cohort first and work through the age cohorts.
Okay. David, what do you make of this proposal?
Well, I mean, in a sense, the report commissioned by Simon Harris from this working group and delivered to him a couple of weeks ago, which you mentioned at the top of the item, I mean, it makes the argument right there. So it considers its basic remit was to consider would making contraception free be cost effective? And so it estimates the cost of doing that anyway would be between 80 and 100 million a year. So that was the estimated cost.
That's for the a total programme, not just an age cohort.
Yeah,
program.
Although it did seem to be saying it's an estimate and it could be higher or it could be lower. But anyway, it came in at that range, 80 to 100 million. And then the next question was, is this the best use of public funds? And it put it into serious doubt as to whether it would be, because it said actually most people, in fact, a great majority of people already have access to contraception. They don't have much in the way of cost barriers, because if you're on medical card, you can get it free anyway. And anybody above medical card is able to afford it themselves. So if they're buying it themselves and you make it free, all you're doing actually is saying, well, it's free rather than you're paying for it, but you're using contraception anyway, and you actually haven't increased the total usage of contraception.
One presumes, though, that they want to have two effects. One is that they don't have unwanted pregnancies. Mm-hmm. And the old teenage pregnancy, the numbers are going down, mm-hmm. which is probably good news. And mm-hmm. there are multifarious reasons for that. And the other thing is to avoid people using abortion as mm-hmm. a contraceptive.
Yeah.
So they would be the two driving forces.
Yes. So anyway, so we're saying again that maybe not a cost-effective use of public money, because obviously every million that the government spends has about 10 other demands on that million. And so is that million better spent on A than B? And this report seems to be saying, actually, this may not, again, be the best use of that money. But it also looks at the question of effectiveness. So it looks at various countries, some of which have free contraception schemes, like Britain, and some of which don't, like, oddly, Netherlands. So it doesn't. But Britain has a high abortion rate. And Netherlands famously has quite a low abortion rate. So here's Britain with free contraception and a high abortion rate. Netherlands, which doesn't have free contraception, and has quite a low abortion rate. Okay?
Okay.
So empirically looking at this, it looks like making it free or not free doesn't really make any difference. And you see, again,
that's presuming attitudes in the Netherlands and attitudes in Britain and attitudes in Ireland are the same. And
yeah, but it's nothing.
We are notoriously contrary.
Yeah, but it seems to have nothing to do with the issue of whether it's free or not. Because again, the vast majority of people who want to use contraception don't have obstacles in their way.
So what should we do?
I think we leave it as it is.
Okay.
Right? Because it doesn't seem to make a difference making it free or not, and therefore that money is better spent somewhere else.
Okay, Kate.
I suppose in terms of the Netherlands, they don't have free in terms of the way we'd have a medical card system, but they do have an insurance system and it is readily available on their insurance system. In the Netherlands, they have a very, very progressive approach to sex education and all of that. So at about 6 years of age, they start relationship education, getting to identify with your body and all of that. And the experience with their investment in sex education, access to contraception through their insurance-led scheme has led to, as David said, lower amount of crisis pregnancies. But fundamentally, which I think is very important, Dutch children or Dutch people have their first sexual experience later than their European counterparts. But also there tends not to be alcohol or drug use involved in that experience. So what this tells me and what the evidence we saw at the committee is that contraception alone will not solve this problem. It comes as a part of a larger public health piece where we educate young people about their bodies. We shake off the stigma from the past, the oppressive attitudes of some in this society.
And
we
look at, already.
And we look to having a mature society that is respectful, that there is no stigma when it comes to sexual experience, and that people have access to contraception. And fundamental to this is, I think it is so important that women have control over when and by whom we become pregnant.
Okay.
And that is still an issue today in Irish society.
We're here to debate whether it should be free or not. All these issues are important, but they're not especially germane to the issue which we're here to debate, which is, should it be free or not? Is it good use of taxpayers' money? And this report that Simon Harris appears to indicate, no. So this is not coming from me. This is coming from the report that Simon Harris himself commissioned, just in respect of Netherlands versus other countries. I mean, a country like Sweden or a country like Denmark with a very liberal attitude and all these things. I mean, everybody just takes that absolutely for granted as it's true. They'd be just as liberal as Netherlands when it comes to all these issues of sexual education, access, etc., attitudes to women. But Sweden and Denmark also have very high abortion rates. In fact, Sweden's abortion rate is even higher than Britain's. So they have all these liberal attitudes to all of these things. Netherlands is actually an outlier. It's unusually low in terms of its abortion rate. There's all kinds of, I think Kate, when she mentions that the Dutch are older when they first have sex on average and they're not using alcohol. So there's huge cultural factors at work here, in fact, as well. So there's, like Pat was referring to, all the various things that are driving down the teenage pregnancy rate, and it's not one thing. And it's the same with the abortion rate in countries like Sweden versus Netherlands versus Denmark versus Britain. There's all kinds of factors at work. But again, we're here to discuss whether it should be free or not, whether it's a good use of taxpayers' money. And the report of Simon Harris is pretty clear. It is not a good use of taxpayers' money because it wouldn't make really any difference.
There's an even more fundamental thing. And I'm sure our listeners will get exercise about this, that if you're not trying to have children, therefore you're not kind of providing the people who pay for the pensions later on. So therefore the sex you're having is an expression of love or just enjoying yourself.
What's wrong with that?
Nothing. The point is, should the state be funding it? You know, that is a kind of a philosophical question.
Yeah,
you're having a good time with your partner, your chosen partner, and you want the state to pay for that. Should the state be paying for you going to the movies together?
This is about a policy decision, and this is about the government, our government, making a decision, our Minister for Health going, I want to provide free contraception where possible to women. But just to go back to the report.
But there's no indication it would make any difference.
The report that was published really was a quantitative report. It was actually looking at things through an accountancy framework, not taking into account, and the report has huge value in that it shows us that if, as David said, if you're spending €1 million on a particular cohort, you want the net result to be less crisis pregnancy. And what our challenge as a government is to make sure that the money gets to those that have the most need. And the minister has decided that that cohort will be the youngest cohort. So the 18 to 24, depending on give or take that age group. However, when you look at the data that we got at the Eighth Amendment Committee, the higher rate of ordering abortion pills is in the 30 to 34 age group. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that that they need more abortions. It just means that they're ordering more pills. So we have to take into account age, education.
But making it free isn't going to make any difference. That's the point. I mean, the report keeps saying that there's no evidence that making it free is going to make any difference because access to contraception and affordability of contraception is not an issue.
And that's why, no, it doesn't say that, David.
Well, it does really say that.
It says that access on the margins is an issue. Evidence, and it doesn't suit some people to hear it. But we have women that are in middle-class scenarios that are experiencing coercive control, that have issues at home where they cannot extract the money from the family finances. Some women from minority groups experience the same. They may have the means, but the reality is that 40% of women. The reality is that 40% of women already have free contraception under the medical card scheme. Okay. So we're not starting from zero.
I'm just wondering though, for the few, and it would hopefully be the few who are subject to coercive control. Do you actually give free contraception to everybody to cope with those few cases?
I think, as I said at the outset, this is part of a larger piece. This is about women's health. This is about having women being able to access the doctor, being educated as to what the best form of contraception is for them at the particular time in their life, that there's sexual health screening, that if a woman goes in to have a termination, that she doesn't end up in a second crisis pregnancy immediately afterwards.
We will close it with this remark from David.
Yeah, so it kind of gets back to what you were saying, Pat. I mean, the whole purpose of kind of social liberalism, a big purpose of it, and the slogan was keep the state out of our bedrooms. All right, what goes on in our bedroom is private. Well, if it is private, then we shouldn't have to be subsidising what's going on in the bedroom. Subsidise it yourself.
And equally, you should keep the Guyon Institute out of our bedrooms too.
Oh, absolutely. I have no attention.
On that note, Fine Gael TD for Dublin-based South, Kate O'Connell, and columnist at the Sunday Times and head of the Guyon Institute, David Quinn, thank you both very much.